Come on, give the Lord some praise. Praise the Lord. How many excited for Jesus this morning? Come on, how many love Jesus? If you're in your car, honk your horn if you love Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you're outside, wave at me if you love Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, this morning, amen, it's time for God's Word. How many excited for God's Word? Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Revelations, chapter 6. Revelations, chapter 6. And this morning, we are going to finish off the seven seals. Amen. We started on Friday night. And the message was why we don't want to miss the rapture. So we've been talking about the end times, and this message is why you do not want to miss the rapture. We've been talking about the seven seals, and then we're also going to go into later on the seven trumpets and seven bowls of God's wrath and the judgment that's going to come upon the earth. So this morning, we have two more seals to cover, and we will be done. Amen. So we won't be too long, hopefully. Amen. But Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. When you're there, give me a strong amen. Honk your horn. Revelation 6, verse 12. This is the sixth seal. It says, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth as figs drops from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They call to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it? Father, bless the reading of your word, anoint it to our lives. Lord, we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, As we share on the end times, it's very important that you begin to find a love for this type of topic. It's very important that we find a love for every topic in the Bible or every theological teaching. The end times is when you get into the wordplay of it, the word is that we're dealing with the word called eschatology. In other words, that's the doctrine of the last days. And so when we talk about the end times, that's what we're really talking about, eschatology, what is to come in the last days. And so that's what we've been preaching on. That's what I've been sharing on these last few services. And so as we look at these six seals, I want to remind you that these are judgments that are going to come on the earth after the rapture takes place. Now, you know, there's different types of beliefs when the rapture take place. Some believe the rapture is going to take place in the middle of the tribulation. Some believe that the rapture is going to take place at the end of the tribulation. And then we believe that the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation. And there's many verses to back that up. The Bible talks about how he has not appointed us for wrath. And I want you to know that these seven seals and these seven trumpets and these seven bowls, they're God's wrath. They're God's judgment upon this world for not believing in him, for not accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, for constantly turning away from God. This is the judgment of God. But we are not going to come under that judgment because the scripture says that he hasn't appointed us to wrath. Amen. That he's going to save us from the wrath. Amen. So, you know, so when we talk about these six seals or these seven seals, I share these with you because I want you to know the severity of why it's so important that we serve God, that we don't grow weary, that we don't go back to Egypt, that we don't disown God, that we don't walk away from God, that we don't get mad at God and turn our backs from God no matter how hard life gets, that we stick it out in the midst of all these trials and these tribulations that we may go through. They're nothing compared to what's going to take place in the 7-year tribulation. And these seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls, they're going to take place during the seven-year tribulation. So on Friday, we covered 1 through 5. Today, I'm going to give you 6 and 7 and give you some confirmation on why we can trust and know that these seven seals are going to come to pass. So number 6, this sixth seal, when you read it in verses 12 through 14, it says, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. Now, who is it that opens it? We learned on Friday that it is Jesus that opens the seals. Nobody could open the seals. There was nobody in heaven or on earth that could open the seals. We read about that in the scriptures that we read on Friday. The only one who was worthy and able to open the seals was the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The Lamb had a capital L signifying that was Jesus. And we understood that. We read in chapter 5 that it was Jesus that was the one who was able to open the seals. So in this sixth seal, he says, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth as figs drops from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. This sixth seal, when it is open, it will produce natural disasters that have never, ever been seen before. Natural disasters like earthquakes that when you read these verses, it describes that these earthquakes are going to be so strong that it's going to destroy whole islands. Islands like Hawaii will be wiped out. Islands in the Florida Keys will be removed because these natural disasters like earthquakes are going to be so strong that it's not only going to remove islands, but it's even going to destroy mountains. We have not seen such destruction ever before. But when Jesus opens up this sixth seal, this is what's going to take place. Now, when we read these scriptures and these verses, we have to remember that the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelations, is trying his best to describe what he is seeing from his point of view, which was over 2,000 years ago. Remember, the Apostle John, he's describing the future. So when God shows him the future, and all of a sudden he sees cars and vehicles and helicopters and airplanes and tanks and these wars taking place. Remember, back then they didn't have tanks. Don't worry about it. He didn't have tanks. They didn't have helicopters. Just hand them to me right here. That was a good idea. I need some weights too because the wind is blowing everything. But so the Apostle John is trying to describe what he is seeing in the future. So this is why when he's describing it, it's hard for him to describe it. And he says, it's like sackcloth made out of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red and the stars, it seems like they're falling from the sky as figs drop from a fig tree. So it's the Apostle John who is trying his best to describe what he's seeing in the future. So he is describing things he didn't understand, nor can we understand them. Even some of the things that we, as we read them, we're like, we don't understand them. You know, this is why I told you on Friday, some people stay away from the book of Revelations or prophecy because they feel like they don't understand. But if we just pray for wisdom, and this is why it's important that you hear good Bible teaching, that it helps you to get a little bit more of an understanding of why the Bible words, how the Bible words things. So as he's describing these things, he doesn't really understand, nor can we understand, but he was doing his best to describe them here in the book of Revelations that he wrote. So these natural disasters are so bad that all people, kings, generals, wealthy people, and powerful people, all these people in the world, they're going to be begging for the mountains to fall in on them and to hide them from God. things are going to be so bad. These natural disasters are going to be so bad that they're going to run to the mountains and they're going to ask the mountains. They're going to be begging the mountains, please fall on us because we want to hide from Jesus. They want to hide from the Lord. See, what this is pointing to, and when you think about that, these people that are strong, powerful, wealthy, instead of crying out to God for mercy, they still choose to hide and turn and run from God. I mean, you figure that things are so bad that they would cry out for mercy and for forgiveness. But instead of crying out for mercy and forgiveness, they still choose to hide and to run and to turn and run from God. Listen, I remember when things were bad for me. I remember when things were hard in my life. We've all faced hard times. You know, the good thing about hard times is that hard times has a way of causing us to turn to God. Can I get an amen? Matter of fact, it was a hard time in my life that I went through that caused me to come to God. Many people, they'll say, oh, that's not a good reason. You shouldn't do that. But listen, God wants us to do that. If we don't do that, people that think like that have a prideful mentality. See, when I came to God, it's because I was facing a hard time. The police were after me. I was facing a lot of time in prison. I had two daughters. I didn't want to go to prison and then be grown without a daddy, without a father, calling some other guy daddy. That was something that really stood out to me. That was something that really struck me. And I didn't want that to take place within my life. Things were hard for me. But I thank God for that hard time because it was that hard time that caused me to turn to God. Even right now, we may be going through a hard time, church, in this world, in our country. But listen, it's during these times where people turn to God. And it's all right to turn to God. You may be here today and you're going through a hard time. And you may be going through exactly what I'm describing. Listen, I'm here to tell you it's okay to be here. It is God's will for you to be here. Maybe God allowed this. God allowed you to go through this hard time so he can finally get your attention. So that you can finally come to church. So that you can finally surrender your heart to God. Don't harden your heart like Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And they continue to harden their heart despite all the plagues that God allowed to come to Egypt, they continue to harden their hearts. See, though, that's what you call an evil heart. That's what you call an unbelieving, a stubborn heart, a stiff-necked people, the Bible talks about it. God describes them as stiff-necked people. Because no matter what he sends their way, no matter what plague he sends their way, no matter what trouble he sends their way, they still harden their heart and they refuse to turn to him and surrender to him. This is some good preaching. Come on, somebody. And listen, this is exactly what people are still going to be like. I mean, it's going to be bad. These natural disasters, the seven seals that we talked about on Friday, the right horse whose rider's named Death, and the black horse who's going to bring famine, and all these, the wild beasts being turned on mankind, all these things. There's going to be a terrible time. But yet still, people are not going to turn to God because of their evilness of their hearts, because of the stubbornness of their heart, because of the pride that's within them. My God, I thank God that we're not like those people. Amen. I thank God that I wasn't stubborn like that. I was a stubborn person. Amen. I was a hardhead. I was a knucklehead. But I thank God that I had a soft heart towards the Holy Spirit. So instead of crying out to God for mercy, they still choose to hide and turn from God. This is a sign of how people's hearts are going to be so hard during the seven-year tribulation. And even today, people still have this type of hearts. You probably know somebody. They're going through, I mean, they're going through such a hard time, but they still refuse to surrender to God. Some of these people are our loved ones. They're our family. They're our friends. They're people we know. You figure, man, what is it going to take for you to surrender your life to God? You overdose. You almost died, but yet you still don't want to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's how people are going to be during the seven-year tribulation. If you notice, the Bible says, it says in verse 15, it says the kings of the earth, the most prideful people of all, the kings of the earth, the princesses and the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, all kinds of people. This is what it says. They hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. They call to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Instead of crying out to Jesus, they're crying out to the mountains. Instead of crying out to a God who can show them mercy and who can save them and who can rescue them, they're crying out to something, to an idol. They're putting their trust in something that's not going to rescue them, that's not going to cover them, that's not going to deliver them. We need to be a people that cry out to God. If you find yourself in trouble, cry out to God. He is a merciful God. He is a good God. He is a loving God. And guess what? Listen, these people here, these kings, these generals, these are people that think they know it all. They got it all together. And they say, oh, we don't need God. There's even people right now during the pandemic, and they say, oh, we don't need God. There's politicians that say, oh, we don't need God. They're still trying to kick God out of the government. They're still trying to kick God out of school. My friend, these are the people that are going to be crying out to the mountains, fall on us. I got news for you. You need to give your life to Jesus. If you're watching online, you need to surrender your heart to God. He is a merciful God, and he'll have mercy upon your soul, and he'll forgive your sins. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Let's look at the seventh seal. The seventh seal is found in Revelation chapter 8. It takes a break in chapter 7. And then in chapter 8, it picks up with the seventh seal. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says this: when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God. And seven trumpets were given to them. Somebody's mic's on. Amen. Jose, I hear you. I work alone, brother. I work alone. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Now, the seventh seal is a prelude to the seven trumpets. In other words, the seventh seal is just an introduction to the seven trumpets, and the seven trumpets get worse. Okay? So, what is this seventh seal? Now, I don't go to haunted houses no more, but I used to go to them. How many ever used to go to, you've been to a haunted house, right? Now, you know, we do what we call Hell's Highway here. Maybe, Brian, you could adjust the sound for me. This is how I describe the seventh seal. Because it's not really like something like the others, like it was death or famine or natural disasters or the Antichrist. The seventh seal is what I call a dead silence or a scary silence. Remember when you went to the haunted house, right? Before we were saved. And remember, you'd walk through the whole haunted house, and all of a sudden you'd go into a room where it was dark and silent. Remember that part, right? And it was like a fear came on you, like, oh man, like what's next, right? That's what the seventh seal is. It's like a dead silence that's going to come on the earth, and things are so bad that people are just going to be, there's going to be a lot of anxiety because things are so creepy, things are so quiet, and things are so dark, and it's going to be like a quiet silence, and there's going to like be an anticipation of like, oh my God, what's going to come next? And that's what the seventh seal is. It's a prelude to the seven trumpets, because the seven trumpets are coming now, and those seven trumpets are going to be worse than the seven seals. And we've seen how bad the seals were. But it's going to get worse with the seven trumpets. And then after the seven trumpets, it still ain't over, because then you got the seven bowls. So the silence for 30 minutes is a scary silence. And people are going to be fearful of what's going to come next. So how do we know that these seven seals will come to pass? How do we know that they're true? I want to give you three reasons why we know that they're true. Number one, because, well, they're in the Bible. Come on, somebody, right? How many believe the Bible? We know they're true because they're in their Bible. Number two, because they're in the Bible twice. They're in the Bible twice. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to show you that they're in the Bible twice. We just read them in Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 8, but Jesus even cross-referenced the seven seals in Matthew 24. Jesus in Matthew 24 and John, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, both wrote about the seven seals, and they are consistent. They are constant. So we see a cross-reference. Now, Jesus didn't call them the seven seals, but yet he describes them exactly in Matthew chapter 24 as we see them in Revelation chapter 6. That's the second reason. They're in there twice. The third reason is that they're even cross-referenced in the same exact order. We're going to look at that. Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So here Jesus is embarking to teach on the end times, eschatology. And in verse 3, the disciples are asking us, tell us, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age? Verse 4, Jesus begins to give them the answer. Look at that. Check it out. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Verse 5, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. Who remembers what the first seal is? Who? The Antichrist, right? The Antichrist. The first seal, when it is open, we read in Revelation chapter 6 that the rider on the white horse is going to come out, the one that has the crown on his head and a sword in his hand, bent on conquest. And we learn that that is the Antichrist. And that was the first seal that was revealed in Revelation chapter 6. Now we're in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And the first sign that Jesus gives, he says, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and would deceive many. What is this? This is the spirit of the Antichrist. So the first seal is found in verse 4. And then the second seal in verse 6. Let's look at verse 6. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. What was the second seal? Wars and rumors of wars and slaughter. Look at verse 7. It says, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be what? There will be what? Famines. Famines. What's the third seal? Famine. begins, right? Come on, are you learning now? Look at verse 9 now, the next one. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. What is this? What? Martyrs, right? What's the fourth seal, the fifth seal? Martyrs, death and slaughter. So verse 9 talks about death and slaughter, and then talks about martyrs. We learned on Friday that the fourth seal is death, and the fifth seal reveals the martyrs, those who have been killed for their faith. So verse 9 covers seal number 4 and seal number 5. And the sixth seal is found in verse 29. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Doesn't this sound familiar? What is the sixth seal? Natural disasters. The sky's falling from the sky. So what do we see here? We see in Matthew chapter 24, the seven seals in the exact same order that it is written in the book of Revelations. Jesus lays it out in Matthew chapter 24. My friend, this is confirmation that this is going to take place. It is going to take place, but thank God that we won't be here, because we're going to be in heaven, because Jesus is going to rapture us. He's going to deliver us from the hour of tribulation. Jesus said it. John confirmed it. It is going to happen. And this is why you don't want to miss the rapture. This is why you got to keep a pure heart before God, like I shared with you on Wednesday. We got to keep a pure heart before God. We got to stay right before God. Don't throw away your faith. Don't throw in the towel. No matter how hard it gets, hold on to your faith. Hold on to your testimony. Hold on to the word of God. Preach to your family. Win your children to the Lord. Tell people about Jesus. People don't read the book of Revelations because they're afraid or because they think they can't understand it. But God put the book of Revelations there for two reasons. Number one, so that we may know the future. God wants us to know the future. This is why, listen, don't get spooky when you read the book of Revelations, but understand what it is talking about. Be taught, be trained, be equipped, because God wants to know, He wants us to know what lies ahead. We may not know it in exact detail, but we can have a little bit of an understanding. The second reason why God put the book, He wants us to know the future, is because He wants us to warn others. He wants us to warn others so that they can be saved. So that they can be saved. We have to sound the alarm that Jesus is coming. We got to get ready, get ready, get ready. We need to prepare our families. We need to set our house in order. We need to make sure that we continue to partake in communion and in fellowship, that we stay close to the heart of God. And we need to get as many more people ready as we can. How do we do that? By preaching the gospel, being a testimony, being an example for others to follow. We must be in an example. The only Bible some people are going to read is the Bible that you show them through your walk. Some people won't ever crack open this book. But why don't you be that walking Bible? That walking Bible that when people see you, they see that you're a man of faith. They see that, you know, that you don't allow things and you don't allow what's going on around you. It seems like nothing bothers you. It seems like, man, things that don't bother you. You say, no, just not that it doesn't bother me. It's just that I know who I put my hope in. I know who I put my trust in. I know that my hope is not in this economy and is not in this world, but my hope is in the hope of glory, the King of glory. Listen, these seven seals, they're bad. We wouldn't want none of our family. You wouldn't want to go through them, nor would you want any of your loved ones to go through them. Nor should we want our children. Listen, we don't know. Jesus may tarry. His return is imminent. It can happen at any time. Some people, you know, they believe that the rapture is going to happen after the tribulation, but that's not possible. Because if that was possible, then we as a church would be able to tell when exactly he's going to come back. So then we would be ready. As soon as we see the Antichrist, we would be able to, okay, 7 years from now, he's coming back, so I better live right. But the Bible teaches he's going to come as a thief in the night. No man knows the day nor the hour. You know why he does that? Because God is, he's not dumb. He knows how we are. He knows how we think. People, I'm just going to party and live my life, and then when I know he's going to come back, I'll get myself ready. No, you can't. God will not be mocked. He says, I want to see if you're the real deal, Holyfield. So I'm going to make it to you where you don't know when I'm going to come. I'll show you some signs, but I'm not going to let you know exactly when, because I want you to be ready in and out of season. I want to make sure that your faith is real. And if your faith is real, you'll serve God in the good times and in the hard times. And when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. And when you got money and when you don't got money. And you'll serve God all the time. You know, there's times, there's so many times, there's times where as Christians we want to backslide and go to the world. As a pastor, there's times where, man, I feel like going to the world. Come on now. But I don't, because my faith is sincere. My faith is sincere. I said, no. And I don't mean I feel like that. I mean that temptation comes. Temptation comes to all of us. But what keeps us grounded in our faith and what keeps me is that man is like, no, man, the work of God, my faith is genuine. I'm not going to play with God like that. I wasn't faking the world. I'm not going to be faking God. Are you hearing me? I was down and loyal in the neighborhood. I'm going to be down and loyal for Jesus. I'm not going to play a facade. So the return of Christ is imminent. The rapture is imminent. It can happen at any time. But once the rapture takes place, and if you're left behind, you're going to have to go through these seven seals and seven trumpets and seven bowls of God's judgment upon the world. Some people will still have an opportunity to get saved. Those are the ones that are going to be the martyrs that we read about and studied in seal number 5. But listen, if you think it's hard serving God right now, oh my God, it's going to be even harder in the tribulation. Right now, you just got to be committed to come and sit in the sun, right? You're like, oh man, the sun, you know, the sun. Listen, there's a hotter place. I said, there's a hotter place. Suffer right now in the sun. Come on, somebody. Huh? We're just doing this to play it safe, my friend. To play it safe, right? They say the sun kills the Rona. Amen. The wind blows the Rona away. Come on, somebody. So we do it like this. Others will have church inside. Power to them. Amen. We're going to be as safe as possible. Huh? And we may be a little hot. We may be a little warm. We may get a little suntan. But it's all right. I'd rather your skin burn right now than your soul to burn later. Rather your sin burn right now than for your soul to burn for eternity. I hope that these messages provoke you to continue to be committed to God. That they provoke you to continue to have a fear of God, a healthy dose of the fear of God. Come on, somebody. We're not supposed to be like afraid of God. I'm not preaching this for you to be afraid of God. No, my friend, because he's a loving God. He loves us. But we should have a respect and a reverence and understand that he is powerful. And then we need to be humble before him. We need to respect him, and we need to obey his commandments, and we need to serve him because he is God. And he is a good God. Isn't he a good God? Hasn't he been good to you? He's a good God. So let's tell the world about a good God. Let's tell the world about Jesus so that they don't have to go through that tribulation. And listen, even that, there's something even more worse that can come upon them. And that is hell. Even the 7-year tribulation is God's mercy. because he's still giving people an opportunity to repent, to fall to their knees and surrender and cry out to God. But as we see, there's still going to be a lot of rich generals, not just rich people, even poor people, because it says even slaves will have a hard heart. But even that is a sign of God's mercy, that he's still giving them an opportunity, that he's sending trouble their way. Let me see if this trouble is going to cause them to churn. Let me see if this trouble is going to cause them to change their mind. Let me see if this trouble is going to finally get them to surrender their heart. But time and time again, they're going to harden their heart. Very few will surrender. And even those few that do surrender to Jesus, a lot of them are going to have to pay with their life. They're going to have to be martyred, beheaded. But at least they're going to be in heaven and paradise with us. And they're going to get a great reward, my friend. But why go through all that? Just surrender right now. If you're watching online, just surrender right now. Give your heart to Jesus right now. You don't got to go through all that madness and all that drama. Give your heart to Jesus if you're watching online. Give your heart to God. If you're here in the parking lot and you haven't given your heart to the Lord, don't leave today this parking lot without making Jesus the Lord of your life. He'll change you. He'll deliver you. I don't know what you're going through, but I know. But listen, there's so many testimonies of men here that used to be on drugs, used to be on alcohol, and God set them free. I used to be on drugs, alcohol. God set us free. Many women out here, God, they were engrossed in sin, but God liberated them. And what God did for us, he'll do for you.